Quake, Rattle and Roll by Sarah Wilcox. Introduction, September 1888. The top of the Christchurch Cathedral spire crashed to the ground in a powerful earthquake. Luckily, the stones landed in the church grounds, so the large building next door was not damaged. The bronze cross from the top of the spire was left dangling. This damage from an earthquake in Christchurch was reported in a newspaper in September 1888. That's more than 120 years ago. Earthquake damage is nothing new. More than 15,000 quakes are recorded in New Zealand every year. Only about 100 of these are strong enough to be felt. The magnitude of each earthquake is measured using the Richter scale. History tells us that we should expect several magnitude 6 earthquakes every year, a magnitude 7 every 10 years, and a magnitude 8 every 100 years. Earthquakes over magnitude 6 can damage buildings. Quaking in their boots. Three New Zealand school students share their earthquake experiences. Murchison, Monday the 17th of June 1929, 10:17 a.m, depth 20 kilometres. Bob White, who was then a pupil at Wales Flat School, remembered a magnitude 7.8 earthquake. "We were thrown to the ground, which was rocking and heaving like a boat on huge waves. After a minute, I saw a huge slip hurtling towards us. I yelled, and we got to our feet to run back towards the building. But the slip overtook us and went straight through the school, leaving the roof perched on top. We were saved by some poplars and a chestnut tree." Napier, Tuesday the 3rd of February 1931, 10:47 a.m, depth 20 kilometres. The magnitude 7.8 Napier earthquake struck on Ray Copland's first day at high school. "When I came to, I was lying in the playground. Blood poured from above my right ear, and my ear was deaf. I was all alone. There were no boys, no teachers, no sounds. It was a ghost school. I turned and saw that the assembly hall was completely destroyed. Only a pile of bricks remained. I realized that there must have been a colossal earthquake and that everybody had fled homeward." Darfield, near Christchurch. Saturday the 4th of September 2010. 4:35 a.m, depth 10 kilometres. A magnitude 7.1 earthquake woke Kieran Pine from a sound sleep. "I felt my bed rocking like mad. Dad came in and pulled me under the doorframe. I had to hang on to him to stay balanced. Once it was light, I went scootering around with my mates to see what had happened. We had a competition for who had the most destruction in their house. One person's house had a shattered window and smashed plates everywhere. Someone else's fridge had fallen over and sent frozen pies all over the floor. We all had to help tidy up." What causes earthquakes? To understand why earthquakes happen, it helps to know about what's going on inside our planet, not just what's happening on the surface. The inside of the Earth is so hot that the rock is molten and soft. It hardens near the surface as it cools, forming a crust. This rocky crust is made up of separate tectonic plates. These plates lock together like massive jigsaw pieces. The molten rock underneath the plates pushes out in different directions, but the plates resist. Sometimes, though, the pressure is so strong that the edges of the plates move. When that happens, we feel an earthquake. Fault lines are cracks in the Earth's crust where there is pressure between the plates. Most earthquakes strike on fault lines. Major fault lines run along the edges of plates. New Zealand sits on the boundary between the Australian plate and the Pacific plate, so major fault lines run down the country. The Alpine Fault runs the length of the South Island. It created the Southern Alps. The Wellington Fault goes through Wellington City and then north through the Hutt Valley. There are minor fault lines too, but even though they are called minor, they can cause very serious damage, as they did in the Christchurch earthquakes in 2010-2011. Big Kiwi Quakes. Many big quakes have occurred in New Zealand. Early New Zealand. From the time they first arrived in New Zealand, Māori experienced earthquakes. Legends tell of Ruau Moko, who stamps about under the earth's surface. Marlborough, magnitude 7.5, depth 12 kilometres. Nearly all the brick and stone buildings in Wellington collapsed. Many were rebuilt in wood. Around 100 aftershocks were recorded in the 5 hours following the quake. 1855, Wairarapa, magnitude 8.2, depth 33 kilometres. This was the most powerful earthquake ever recorded in New Zealand. New ground was pushed up from under the sea. Some of it now forms the main road out of Wellington. 1929, Arthur's Pass, magnitude 7.1, depth 12 kilometres. Fallen rocks and slips closed the railway line between Christchurch and the West Coast for months. 1929 Murchison, magnitude 7.8, depth 20 kilometres. Huge landslides blocked roads and rivers. 14 people were killed. 1931 Napier, magnitude 7.8, depth 20 kilometres. From their boats in the harbour, sailors saw the city buildings crumble. They were the first people to provide help. Broken gas pipes caused fires. Broken water pipes made the fires very hard to put out. 256 people died. 1942, Wairarapa, magnitude 7.2, depth 12 kilometres. The worst damage was in Masterton's main street. Rebuilding took a long time because many men were away fighting in the Second World War. 1968, Inangahua, magnitude 7.1, depth 12 kilometres. A huge landslide dammed the Buller River and raised its level by 30 metres. Because the river could have flooded nearby towns, everyone in Inangahua was evacuated. 1987, Edgecombe, magnitude 6.5, depth 10 kilometres. A huge crack, 7 kilometres long and up to 4 metres wide, appeared along the fault nearby. No one was killed in the earthquake, but many people suffered serious injuries. 2010, Darfield, magnitude 7.1, depth 10 kilometres. This shallow quake caused the strongest shaking ever recorded in New Zealand. In a process called liquefaction, layers of wet sand and silt underground were turned into a muddy liquid that bubbled up and covered many roads and gardens. 2011, Christchurch, magnitude 6.3, depth 5 kilometres. The city was extensively damaged. 185 people were killed and several thousand were injured. This was the fourth time the spire of Christchurch Cathedral had been badly damaged in an earthquake. Recording earthquakes. Geologists use seismographs to record and measure earthquakes. The word seismic comes from a Greek word that means to shake. GeoNet is an organisation that looks after hundreds of seismographs in New Zealand. The geologists at GeoNet record the size, depth, and location of earthquakes. If you look on the GeoNet website, you will see three facts about each earthquake: where it was centred, how big it was, and how deep it was. Shallow earthquakes cause more powerful shaking than deeper ones. Earthquakes send out waves of energy. A seismograph records those waves. Each quake sends two waves. The P, primary wave, is first to arrive at the seismic station. It travels fastest and is often heard rather than felt. The second wave to arrive is the S, secondary wave. This wave's energy shakes the ground from side to side and causes most of the damage. A strange experiment. In 1964, geologist Frank Everson tried a simple method of recording an earthquake. He understood that the Earth is always changing its shape, but Frank wanted to find out whether it changed gradually or in big jumps. He built a 50-metre-long wall across the Alpine Fault near Lewis Pass. If the ground moved, the wall would shift, twist, or break. Almost 50 years later, the wall stands in the same place, unbroken. This tells us that the fault moves in big jumps, not by gradual creeping. Research now shows that the last earthquake on that fault occurred in about 1717. It was about magnitude 8 and involved about 8 meters of horizontal movement, which is very large on a world scale. The shaking would have been felt from Kaitaia to Stewart Island. Earthquakes and volcanoes. Earthquakes are related to volcanic eruptions, but they are not the same. Both are recorded by seismographs. Both can cause the ground to shake. But in a volcanic eruption, the ground along the fault does not shift. Scientists can observe volcanoes for high levels of activity. This helps them to predict when an eruption might happen. New Zealand has a volcanic alert system to warn people who live nearby or fly over the area when the risks are high. Scientists cannot predict earthquakes. Dangerous buildings. Engineers have a saying: earthquakes don't kill people, buildings do. Unsafe buildings are the cause of almost all deaths from earthquakes. Brick and stone buildings are particularly dangerous. Every time there is a big quake, experts study the damage. They teach architects, engineers, and builders how to design and build stronger buildings. They also work out how to strengthen older buildings. A New Zealand scientist and engineer, Bill Robinson, invented a way to protect buildings and bridges from earthquake damage. He made isolators that cushion the movement of a quake. Te Papa and the Parliament buildings in Wellington both have isolators. So do more than 8,000 structures around the world. The aim of Bill Robinson's work was not to save the buildings from damage, but to protect the people inside them. Rebuilding cities. After the Napier earthquake in 1931, everyone left town. The city was so badly damaged that most of the houses had to be pulled down. Tin Town, a temporary shopping centre, was quickly put up. Within 2 years, a brand new city was built. It was built in the Art Deco style, which was in fashion at the time. Napier's airport is built on land that was pushed up from under the sea during the quake. Kieran Pine shares his thoughts on rebuilding Christchurch. When Christchurch is rebuilt, I'd like the cathedral to still be there. It's just part of the city, and it always will be. Maybe another hospital and pool would be a good idea. I'd like more skate parks too, but that's just for me and my mates.